You're listening to Pastor Stephen G. Lightfoot's podcast, Sermons and Homilies by the Reverend Stephen G. Lightfoot. Pastor Stephen is an ordained elder in the Global Methodist Church and serves as senior pastor to First Methodist Church Splendora and Shepherd Methodist Church in Southeast Texas. Here is today's episode. Please be seated. So here we are in the fifth Sunday of Lent. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday, the beginning of Holy Week. And then after Palm Sunday, as we go through Holy Week, we journey with Jesus to the cross, and we end up back here on Friday evening for Good Friday. I think it's probably in everyone's best interest if we pause this morning and consider who it is that's going to the cross and why he is important for all of us, not just as Christians, but as people who move through a fallen and broken world. Believers, so we have an eternal destiny, but at the same time, we have this world to minister to and, yes, to endure for a time. No one escapes sin except through Jesus. He is our great high priest, and that's what our epistle this morning deals with. It comes to us from the fifth chapter of Hebrews, beginning at verse 5. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews says to us about Jesus, our great high priest. So too, Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but it was he who said to him, "You are my son, today I have fathered you." Just as he also says in another passage, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." In the days of his humanity, he offered up both prayers and pleas with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his devout behavior. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the source of eternal salvation for all those who obey him, being designated by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. So every couple of years at this time in the Lenten season, we come across this passage from Hebrews that refers to Jesus as our high priest, not just any priest, but a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. And so even though we hear that name every so often in the Lenten season, we still wonder, just who the heck is Melchizedek? See, the author of Hebrews gives us a picture of the functions of a priest, which are different from that of a prophet. See, a prophet speaks on behalf of God to humankind. But a priest functions to bring humankind to God. You see the difference? In order to do this, a priest must be close to and identify with the people that he represents as he brings them before God. And so in this passage from Hebrews, we get a sense of the closeness of our high priest Jesus, who became one of us, who became human, so that he could better fulfill this high priestly role by being like us in every way except one, and that is that Jesus did not sin. In order to do this, a priest has to be close to and identify with the people he represents. Jesus, as high priest, suffered with humankind so that he would be qualified to suffer for humankind. Let me say that again. Jesus suffered with humankind so that he would be qualified to suffer for humankind on the cross. Not only that, but a high priest doesn't become a high priest on his own. He doesn't just decide one day, I think I'll make myself high priest. No, a high priest is appointed by God. As we know, Jesus was appointed by God the Father and sent by God the Father to become our high priest. And the writer of Hebrews is quick to explain to us that Jesus is not just a high priest in a long line of high priests, but rather he's a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. And so we come to the question again, what is Melchizedek? Who was Melchizedek, and why is Jesus a priest in that order of priests? So Melchizedek, if you go back to the first book of the Bible in Genesis in chapter 14, Melchizedek is described as the king of the region of Salem, and he is identified as the priest of God. And so Abram, before he became Abraham, offers Melchizedek as the priest of God. He offers him a tithe. He offers him 10% of his earnings. And when he does that, Melchizedek blesses Abram. And Abraham's faithfulness, as the Bible tells us, is rewarded and counted for him as righteousness. See, Melchizedek is a name that's made up of two Hebrew words, the word for king and the word for righteous. So Melchizedek is a righteous, kingly priest. And in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus is in a discussion with the Pharisees. And in that discussion, he cites Psalm 110, verse 1. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. And then a little bit further down in that passage, 110, Jesus tells the Pharisees that David's Lord in verse 1 is the Messiah. And Melchizedek, that's mentioned later on in verse 4, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. So what Jesus is saying is the Messiah himself, Jesus, David's Lord in Psalm 110, was given Melchizedek's priesthood forever. And so Melchizedek's appearance to Abraham in Genesis is an early appearance in the Bible of Jesus Christ to Abraham. We say Jesus appeared to Abraham, and Melchizedek is of a type Jesus. Words mean things, and what we want to understand it is that Jesus, who was born in the manger, existed with God from the very beginning, from eternity past. And so Jesus' appearances in the Old Testament are usually done through others, like Melchizedek. And so we say those people are of a type, Jesus Christ. Why is that important? Well, in a nutshell, Jesus' priesthood is an eternal office, one he holds forever, and it can't be passed on or changed in any way. In that sense, it is a superior priesthood to the lineage of Aaron and the Levites. Only Christ himself can fulfill the office of Melchizedek. That priesthood has only two members to the order, Melchizedek himself, who was deemed righteous and of a type Christ, and Jesus. That's it. We have no other high priest, only Jesus. So for these reasons, he is our great high priest. Even now, sitting at the right hand of God the Father, speaking words of affirmation about you and me into the Father's ear, telling him that we are chosen, that we are his, that we are reconciled and redeemed and therefore welcomed into the kingdom of God. Do you see what a big deal this is? To have Jesus as our high priest. I like the way the Message version explains this high priestly order. It says, every high priest selected to represent men and women before God and offer sacrifices for their sins should be able to deal gently with their failings, since he knows what it's like from his own experience. In other words, Jesus knows what your struggle is. But that also means that he has to offer sacrifices for his own sins as well as the people's. You see, that's the difference between Jesus and all the other priests. Jesus didn't have to sacrifice for his own sins because he had no sins. That makes him uniquely qualified to be the sacrifice for the rest of us. No one elects himself, the Message says, to this honored position of high priest. He's called to it by God, as Aaron was called. Neither did Christ presume to set himself up as high priest, but was set apart by the one who said to him, "You are my son. Today I celebrate you." And then in another place, God declares, "You're a priest forever in the royal order of Melchizedek." See, while he lived on earth, anticipating his death, Jesus cried out in pain and wept as he offered up priestly prayers to God. You'll remember this. He sweated drops of blood in the garden as he was praying to God the Father to deliver him from this need for him to suffer such an awful death. And yet, at the end of that prayer, he said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." See, though he was God's son, he learned trusting obedience by what he had suffered. Just as you and I do. How do we learn? In the same way a child learns not to touch a hot stove. Sometimes you just have to touch it and see for yourself. When you're burned, you learn. I think that's a motto. I'm not sure. Having arrived at the full stature of his maturity and having been announced by God as high priest in the order of Melchizedek, Jesus became the source of eternal salvation to everyone who believes and obeys him. Why is that important for you and me today? What's the big deal about Jesus being our high priest? Why does it matter? It matters because as humans, we require an intercessor who is able to represent us to God as a perfect example of who God created us to be. Because we're humans living in a fallen and broken world, a world that's filled with sin and the consequences of sin, we are unable on our own to have the relationship with God that we need to have to live our eternal lives with Him. We can't achieve it on our own. But God gave us a great high priest, Jesus, who lived and suffered as one of us. And He did it without falling into the sin trap that so easily snares the rest of us. And because He did that, He became the way for us to achieve that life-giving relationship with God the Father that we need. His sacrifice paid our debt. His resurrection gave us our resurrection. So next Sunday, as we enter Holy Week with Palm Sunday and the triumphal entry of Christ into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, just as prophecy from centuries before the event took place said He would, we're close to the end of the Lenten journey. In those holy days from Palm Sunday through Good Friday, we will witness the suffering of our Lord Jesus, suffering like no one on earth has ever suffered. Physical, mental, emotional, spiritual suffering. As our Lord Jesus became sin, so that you and I could escape the bondage of sin and death forever. Amen. Indeed. It will be a terrible, awful, beautiful week as the love of Jesus for you and me is realized publicly and finally, once for all. Are you ready for that final journey to the cross? As we said last week, are you exactly where God wants you as we get ready for that final journey up the mountain called Calvary, as we witness Jesus paying the ultimate price for our sins? Is your heart in a place ready to receive all that He has done for you? As the psalmist says, Selah. In other words, contemplate that. As we're ready, as we ready ourselves for Palm Sunday and Holy Week, as we're about to make that final journey, do a little bit of heart surgery. And make sure that all those sin bricks in the wall between you and God have been torn down and reduced to rubble. Open your heart completely to what God has for you in this final push to the cross of Christ. It's a journey worth making, and I say it every Lenten season as we come to the end of it. If you want to experience the glory of the resurrection, you have got to journey with Christ to the cross. Because without the cross of Jesus, there is no resurrection. And without the resurrection, you and I might as well be on the lake fishing this morning.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Come back again next week for a new message. And until then, may God bless you and keep you.